Spirit.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, there be lots of room in our being.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, make us like little children.
Amen.
Lord, to receive your word simply.
Amen.
To let it nourish us.
Amen.
To let it supply us to go your way.
Amen.
Lord, we're open in this meeting for you to turn us.
Amen.
For you to change us.
Amen.
For you to empower us.
Amen.
Her Lord to lead her there. Thank you. Okay, let's have a few prayers. I'm going to do some speaking at the beginning, and then we promise that we will give some time to you. And what you can do is, since this morning some of you were consecrating and got stopped in the middle, so those that still want to consecrate can do that. In addition to that, if you have something you want to share, feel free to come up and share it. Or if you have questions you want to ask, then you can come up and you can ask, and we can have some interaction, hopefully, about that. Now, at the beginning of this time that we had, I said we want to cover six matters. We cover one and two, the living and the initiation, which is consecration. This afternoon, I want to talk about the vital groups. Now, I know a lot of you have heard about the vital groups, but what you're going to hear this afternoon is something that you may not have heard before. And so, you be prepared to be challenged, or you be prepared to be inspired, however you see it. So I asked the PowerPoint to come on, and instead of the frame number one, go to frame number three first. And in frame number three, it links the matter of the vital group to Ephesians chapter 4. And that's how I would start. It says the vital group for the realization of the perfecting of the saints in Ephesians 4. Now we know that Ephesians 4 talks about how Christ formed the body. And he formed the body by him ascending to the heavens. And then, in his ascension, he make us all captives, and then make these captives the gifts. And then the gifts, in turn, produce the saints for the perfecting of the saints. And that brings in the building up of the body of Christ. And this is what we're going to talk about. Consecration is not just for our individual pursuit. Don't forget that Princess Lucia that I talk about. That's the will of God. And keep that will of God as a focus, which, according to Ephesians 4, is the building up of the body of Christ. And so, what are we giving our life to? We're giving our life to live for Christ, and we're giving our life for the building up of the body of Christ. But the building up of the body of Christ is not something very, very abstract. I'm going to relate it in a very, very practical term this afternoon. So first, read something from Brother Lee on fellowship concerning the need of the vital groups. And it's spoken in the context of why we need the vital groups. So it says the purpose of the vital groups is to increase perfecting and building up of the body of Christ. And the vital groups are to gain the increase, finish the perfecting, and complete the building. So that's what the vital group really is. It's not just to make us vital. And above all, which is what I want to emphasize this afternoon, it's not a meeting. A lot of the saints, especially the young ones, when they hear, oh, vital group, whoa, I thought we have enough meetings already. Now we got another vital group, and so we add to another meeting. I can't handle it. So right off the beginning, I said, I'm turned off. I can't handle the vital group. So this afternoon, first of all, I want you to forget about the idea of having a meeting. Then what is vital group? And we'll come to that in a minute. But first of all, just remember, in Ephesians chapter 4, the Lord never talked about building up a meeting. He talked about building up the body of Christ, that's for sure. But what is the body of Christ? The body of Christ is something organic, in the same nature as the head. So the next quotation says, Ephesians chapter 4:12, talk about the perfecting of the saints, that each one may do the unique work of the ministry, and that is to build up the body of Christ. So who are the each ones? That's you. That means every one of us can have a part in the building up of the body of Christ. Just like in the Old Testament, when they build the tabernacle, I share with you this morning that everyone has a part in the building up of the tabernacle, in that they all have a part in that consecration. So this is the purpose of the vital move to have these groups. And so, now please go back to frame number one. And we'll see what Ephesians chapter 4 says. It says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some teachers, and shepherds for the perfecting of the saints, unto the work of the ministry, unto the building up of the body of Christ, until we all arrive at a full grown man, at the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Then it says in verse 15, holding to truth in love. So what is holding? That is maintaining a kind of relationship between you and the head, that we may grow up into him in all things, who is the head, Christ. In verse 16, out from whom? Out from this body, being joined together and knit together through every joint of the rich supply, and through the operation in the measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building of itself in love. So far, very familiar, right? You all know this portion of the word. Now, let's go to frame number four. Oh, sorry, I missed one thing. Frame number two first. And this is a quote from Watchman Nee. And he's talking about the whole body rising up to serve. And he says, one day we will all pass away, and another generation will rise up. Then the next generation that bring in must not be made up of three or five serving ones, but must be made up of the whole church serving. If one day the whole church rises up to do everything by itself, with the whole church preaching the gospel and the whole church edifying each other, that will be the day when the world will see the church doing a new thing on earth. Today, the whole problem lies with you and me. We must help every brother and every sister to serve and to make everyone a priest of God. Some, after this morning's meeting, a sister came and said, "What happened with the flesh?" Here, watchman, he answers it. Some may have the flesh. But we still have to ask them to work. Some brothers say that they have so little that it would be better if they hid it. But we have to tell them that they cannot do it. It is an easy thing for the one talented ones to hide what they have. Many brothers and sisters feel that since they make mistakes no matter what, how they work, then they may as well not work at all. But we have to ask them to work. This is the way. Please believe my words. In the not too distant future, such a church will appear. By that time, men will see Philadelphia, the genuine brotherly love. So that's Watchman Nee. He saw a vision, and what is that vision? The vision is that the whole church, everybody rising up to serve. You know what Brother Lee was doing in the 80s? That was exactly to carry out this. He wants to see the whole body rising up to serve, not just a few on Sunday morning giving messages and just restricted to a few, but that everybody, the whole church, would rise up. So the first thing he said was to change from the big meetings to the small meetings, and then eventually from the small meetings to the group meetings, and then eventually from the group meetings to the home meetings, and then finally, after he got back to America, from the home meetings to no meetings at all, just vital groups. And the vital group is one person being vitalized and then establishing a relationship with another person. And then after they establish a relationship, then they go out and establish more relationship with a third person. That actually is a vital group. And so you may say that the vital group is a meeting, but not all meetings are vital groups, that's for sure. And like I told you this morning, my wife went to a denominational church for 1 year, and she has no relationship with anybody. And if you read the Pew study, it said young people are leaving the mega churches en masse. And the reason is that they don't feel that they belong, so they don't belong. They just go there to listen to some kind of performance. And so the mega churches try to be better and better and better at the performance. But what is the church? The church is in relationships. And the relationships is like the connection between the cells and the body. So the body is not connected by nail and steel. It's connected by one cell related to another. Okay, so that's clear. Now go to the fourth frame. The fourth frame, I give you a picture of Ephesians 4. You have Christ, and then he gave the gifts, and then the gifts perfect the saints. Now, what is the relationship between Christ and the gifts? One verb, and the verb is gave, and he gave. And that's a relationship that the Lord is constantly giving. And then what is the relationship between the gift and the saints? They perfect. And perfect is not in the meeting. Perfect is another kind of relationship. And you're related to your son, and you're perfecting your son. But you don't you don't perfect him in meeting. It's in the relationship that you perfect your son. And then the gifts are joined together, and then the saints are knit together. So you can quickly go over the next few frames. The next one tells us the relationship between Christ and the gifts is in this word giving. Then the next frame, the relationship between the gifts and the saints is in the perfecting. Then the next frame, that the relationship between the gifts and the gift is in the joining, and the relationship between the saints and the saints are in fitting. Now, in all of these relationships, there's no mention of any meeting. It's not a meeting. It's a matter of relationships and building up an organic relationship with Christ, and building up an organic relationship with the believers, and building up an organic relationship with each other. So it's pretty clear, very simple. And all of you young people, you should understand that. So let's go to the next one. Now you get the gifts producing the saints, and the saints becomes a gift, and they produce more gifts, more saints, and then each one of them is joined back to Christ by being subdued and defeated by Christ, and then Christ giving them back to the church. And so each one is also joined to Christ. And so you start having this body growing. And this body grows just like your human body grows, not by nails and stone, but by just growing in the relationship of more cells and more cells. So let's go to the next one. Oh, well, I don't know if I want to talk to you about this one. Go ahead. This is a chart of Brother Lee in 1971. And he was projecting how the church would grow and grow and grow. And it's, if you look at the bottom right corner, it says it is based on an annual increase of 35%. And for those who can understand or read Chinese, it's in his handwriting that he wrote to Liu Shui, and he said, 此事最近所做对主在美国工作 this is the foresight of the Lord's work in America. Please pray for this. And you can see that according to that projection, by 1982, there should be 66,900 people, with 500 already migrated to the Middle East and 400 migrated to the other countries. And there are a total of 230 churches with 66,000 people in USA. Now, you may say it doesn't mean much to you. Well, it means a lot to me, because when I see what Brother Lee's dream was, and I see what our situation at present is, I said, well, we're way, way far from what Brother Lee's consideration is. And this is just an example. Now let's go to the next frame. And it compares the rate of increase of human cells with bacteria. So the human cell, I'm not a medical doctor, so forgive me if I pronounce it wrong. Granulocytes, eosinophils, basophils, neutrophils, 10 hours to 3 days, they replicate. Stomach lining cells, 2 days. Sperm cells, 2 to 3 days. Colon cells, 3 to 4 days. Epithelial of small intestines, 1 week, or less. Platelets, 10 days. Skin epidermal cells, 2 to 4 weeks. Lymphocytes, 2 months to a year. highly variable. Red blood cells, 4 months. Stomach lining cells, 2 days. Macrophage, months, years. Endothelial cells, months, years. Pancreas cells, 1 year or more. Bone cells, 25 years to 30 years. So that's how the human cell multiplies. Now look at how fast compared with bacteria. Bacteria multiplies every 20 minutes. So in 12 hours, they multiply 10 to the 7 or 10 to the 8th power. So you got the point. So who wins? When you get a cold, somebody is multiplying a whole lot faster than you are, and so you lose. So whoever that multiplies faster wins. Whoever that don't multiply eventually loses. And what is a dead body? A dead body is the body that doesn't multiply anymore. You get the point. All right. Now, so that links the vital group with Ephesians chapter 4. And I just show you what Ephesians chapter 4 is all about. It's not about meeting. It's not about organization. It's not about anything that you see in Christianity today. It's about the picture of vital relationships. So you may equate the word vital group with vital relationships. So it's a relationship. It's not meeting. It's not just a kind of a structure. It's having some kind of relationship. So some of you know that last year I got my second stroke. And I was lying in the hospital bed in Korea. And I start thinking about this matter. And I start realizing that the entire book of the Gospel of John is talking about relationships. It's not talking about meetings. Well, I'll point out to you, first in chapter 6. We all know that chapter 6 talks about eating Jesus. He that eats me will live because of me. Now we're all familiar with that. But listen, in that whole chapter, the Lord Jesus didn't talk about anything except his relationship with believers. That's all he talked about. First thing he said, you have to come to me. If you don't come to me, then you won't have eternal life. So what is coming to Christ? It's a relationship. And people say, oh, the work concept. So they said, well, what is to do the work of God? Well, the Lord says, believe in me. That's to do the work. So, you come to me, you believe me, and then you live by me. How? By eating me. So, you get into a deeper and deeper relationship with the Lord. And so, what is to eat the Lord? To eat the Lord is just to have a living relationship with him. And you move on. And you have chapter 14, 15, 16, 17. And that's the heart of that book. Now, you just consider from this perspective, what are those four chapters talk about? First, in chapter 14, the Lord said, don't let your heart be troubled, because if you believe God, you believe in me also. Then he went on to describe about his relationship with the Father. He said, I'm in the Father is in me. So anybody that believes in me, they will be brought into a kind of relationship with me that is like my relationship with the Father. So my relationship with the Father is the model, and that model is your goal, that eventually you would get into me in the same way that I'm in the Father. So I'm in the Father, and the Father is in me, and then if you love me, then we'll make a mutual abode in you. What is that? That is to build up a relationship. And that's in a very simplified way what chapter 14 is talking about. Okay, then in chapter 15, it says, okay, this relationship got to be extended. So it's not just your relationship with me and my relationship with the Father. He said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. Then what is the next thing? It says, okay, the thing about the branches is they all bear fruit. So you bear fruit. And now, John chapter 15 never says that to bear fruit is to be nice, to be kind, to be live out all the Christian virtues and the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It never says that. And some of you say, I know what the next thing you're going to say. To bear fruit is to preach the gospel and to get people saved. Well, neither does chapter 15 say anything like that. It doesn't say anything about preaching the gospel and getting people saved. Then right after, he said, okay, you need to bear fruit. If you don't bear fruit, I'm going to cut you off and you're going to be burned to fire. Then what's the next thing he said? Read your chapter 15. It says, love one another. If you love one another, then you're my disciples. What does that mean? That means that this intimate and organic relationship need to be extended. And now it's not just our relationship with the Father and with the Son. Now it's being increased. And that increase is the fruit bearing, is the branching out. And so it's still a relationship, but it's the extension of relationship. Then in chapter 16, I'm going over it very fast. Then in chapter 16, from the perspective of relationship. So he said, now there's this relationship that I have with the Father. Then I'm going to send you the Comforter. And the Comforter is going to be with me, and whatever he says, I am. So the Comforter is this extension of the relationship between the Father and the Son. And that relationship is going to be in you. So here it reveals the entire mystery of the Trinity as being a relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. And this one is going to be abiding in us to extend to become the mutual habitation of God. Then you move on to chapter 17. Well, not yet. Then in chapter 16, it says that this corporate expression is going to be the house of the Father. It's going to be the vine tree of the Son. And then it's going to be the child of the Holy Spirit. And what is that? That house, that divine, that child, it's just the extension of relationships. And you go on to chapter 17. In chapter 17, everybody knows, is the Lord's Prayer. And he prays for oneness. And he prays that the believers would get into the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, in a relationship that is so one that it's not two becoming one, it's actually two as one. So it's you can use your imagination on how two can become one, but you can't imagine how two can be one and one can be two. It's two contradicting things. And so brotherly use a word, and I think it's a wonderful word, and the word is incorporation. And so the ultimate relationship between the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and us and the triune God is the relationship of incorporation. So first, we are related to the triune God through union. We're united with him. Then we're related to the triune God through mingling, and that's even more. Then you get into a relationship with the triune God, which is you get incorporated into him, meaning that it's not two becoming one, but two as one, and how can two be as one? I don't know. So it's just the divine and mystical realm of describing a kind of relationship. And that relationship is going to be what will glorify the Father. So if you look at this that way, I'm helping you to understand and how to interpret the Bible. If you look at it that way, then the entire Gospel of John is about relationship. And so that's what I'm going to talk about this afternoon, is relationship. And going back to the brotherly fellowship concerning the vital group. And he said this. He said, there are three elements to the vital group. The first is the condition. And the second is the nature. And then the third is the goal. So what is the vital group? The vital group is a relationship with the condition of love. So it's a love relationship. And the vital group is in the nature of spiritual. So it's a spiritual relationship. And then the vital group has the goal. And the goal is that you will have those that you are in vital connection with to be partners. Partners in begetting fruit. And so you have Exodus chapter 34. And Moses was praying with God. And it's like a father and a son. I mean, and a father and a mother. And then the son commits some kind of a big mistake. And then the mother said, see your son? He got into trouble. And the father said, no, this is your son. And so at the beginning, Moses said, oh, your people. And God said, no, your people. And then eventually, the Lord dropped it. He said, the people. And then at the end of that conversation of trying to how to deal with this wayward son, there is a verse there that says that Moses was like a companion with God. And the footnote says that that companion means he is a partner of God. And he says in the Old Testament, Abraham's relationship was only a relationship of friendship. But Moses was in a further relationship. It's not just a friend of God. He's a partner of God. And they partner together to do what? To try to take care of Israel. So partner is actually a very strong relationship. And then, in the 15th chapter of John 15, it has one more word. Disciples. So, here, I would list these four kinds of relationships. And this one, I'll call it friendship. And this one, I call it fellowship. And this one, I call it partnership. And then this last one, I call it discipleship. So, the relationship that we're building up with people are in these four categories, from A to D. First, you build a friendship with people. And then the friendship should not stop there, and it should move on. But it starts out always with friendship. You know what, how the Lord built up his relationship with us? First, he is the friend of sinner. And he is the friend of sinner before he is the savior of sinner. He makes friends with us before he becomes our savior. Our concept is the opposite. He is our savior, then he makes friends with us. No, it says, and I'm quoting Watchman Nee. He says, the Lord is first our friend before he is our savior. So he is the friend of sinners in the gospel before he is the savior of sinners. So same thing with our relationship. We build our friendship. But friendship doesn't stop as friendship. Friendship moves on to become fellowship. And the fellowship moves on to become partnership. And the partnership moves on to become discipleship. Now, practically, you get to know a person. First, you become his friend. And you talk about his what he likes and what he doesn't like. You go out and have coffee with him. And then after you get to know him for a little while, you don't stop there. You don't get led by his nose and just become his friends. You lead him to start having some prayer together or to start reading the Bible together. And when you do that, then you move on from a friendship relationship to a fellowship relationship. You move from being just in a condition of love to a nature of something spiritual. That something spiritual can be praying together, it can be reading the Bible together, or it can be just reading something related to the Bible together. But it's something spiritual. It's not just talking about the movie and what's going on the internet. It's fellowship. But fellowship is not the end. Now, fellowship moves on until you and him become burden for somebody else. Let's say his roommate. And you say, well, what about Jimmy? Jimmy, we should start praying for Jimmy. And so as soon as they start praying for Jimmy, they move into a partnership. And what is this partnership? This partnership is a partnership, the enterprise of getting people, not the enterprise, not the partnership of making money. Partnership in the gospel. And then, after a while, 1 year, and I say, okay, now, Johnny, we've been having this wonderful relationship together for a year. Now I got to move on. And I got to move to another campus, or I got to move into another relationship. So now, you continue to do what I'm doing, okay? And so, you become the disciple. And you continue on becoming what I just did to you in the last 9 months. And so, you disciple that person. And so, that relationship becomes a discipleship. Isn't that obvious? It's pretty obvious to me. Now, all right, now. I said, if you look at the vital group this way, then you say, wow, I didn't know that there's all these relationships that mean something. Well, whether it means something or it doesn't mean something, it all depends on how you move on. And if you morph on in the other direction, then you get let by the nose by him, and it's not in that direction. Okay. Now, I share that with the full-time trainees in the full-time training God-ordained weight class. About 3 or 4 weeks ago, I said, okay, all of you, start writing on the piece of paper. You don't have to write your name. I'm just doing a survey. How many of you think that you're in a friendship relationship with somebody? Then you write down the number of friendship relationship you have. And then how many of you think that you are in a fellowship relationship with somebody? And then you write down the number of fellowship relationship. And then how many of you think that you are in your actual praying partnership with somebody? Then you write it down. Then how many of you think that you have perfected somebody, either a young person or a couple or a new one on the campus, that they actually are doing what you're doing now? If you have that, then you have that relationship. And so I have these numbers, and I'm going to write them on the board. There's 1,743. And by the way, the total number survey is 2,292. So of the 292, there are 1,700 friendships. And of those 1,700 friendships, there are 1,042 fellowships. And then 496 partnership, and then 160 actually are duplicating themselves and are in a kind of discipleship. And so that comes up to an average. This is now number 6 friends, 3.6 fellowship partners, or fellowship relationship, 1.7 partnership relationship, praying with these people, and 0.5 discipleship relationship. I said, okay, don't pass the paper out yet. Now write down, after you hear everything that I just shared, what you think you want to at the end of this term. So end of the term. And this time, some people, they have no clue. So they don't write down anything. So the number of people that wrote down some numbers is 247. So about 45 people, they didn't write down anything. But of those who wrote down something, this is the number. And if you average out over that number, then you increase from an average of 6 to 7.3. You increase from 3.6 to 5.5. You increase from 1.7 to 3.5. And then you increase from 0.5 to 2.1. And that's not too bad, with a period of about 2 months, a little bit less than 2 months. So at the end of the term, I'm going to ask them again, so what do you think? Has your relationship improved? You know, some of the young people say, oh, I'm in a relationship. What kind of relationship are you in? So those kind of things that you say, oh, I'm in a relationship. I'm not that excited. But I'm excited about this kind of relationship. So, yeah, get into a relationship, every one of you. But get into the relationship in the right way and in the right direction. And then you will bear remaining fruit. And if you bear remaining fruit, you will fulfill John chapter 15. So, how easy is that? Can you do it?
Amen.
You just consecrated yourself this morning. I saw you. You think you can do it?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I can. Yes, we can.
Amen.
Now, some leading brothers from the church in Singapore came to some of us, the co-workers, and said, well, the church in Singapore has been dormant for a long time, so can you share something on how to go on? And I said, well, it's very easy. If you get 100 saints, they will get vitalized, and then they start building up this vital relationship. And by 2020, that's 5 years from now, you have 2,000 people, easily. And I say, how do you get that? So now let's go back to the PowerPoint. And the next one, who are these brothers that are doing that? You! You! Okay, all right, next one. So John chapter 15 says that your fruit, you will bear much fruit and that your fruit will remain. So how do you have remaining fruit? Well, get into this kind of relationship and you have remaining fruit. So let's get a projection of next 5 years. So next, okay. Let's look at the trees, how they bear fruit. For apple tree, it takes 2 to 5 years. For apricot tree, it takes 2 to 5 years. For banana tree, it takes 2 to 3 years. For cherry tree, it takes 3 to 5 years. For cherry trees, sweet, it takes 4 to 7 years. Citrus tree, you get the point. So it's not like you planted it this week and the next week you get the fruit. Forget about it. The least is 2 years. Now you think about the Lord's word. He said he got an olive, a fig tree in a vineyard. And then it says, after 2 years, and he came and he said, is there fruit? And so the gardener said, wait, just wait another year, okay? Don't get impatient. And next year, if it doesn't bear fruit, then chop it off. So I'm not saying that you go out and you just get 10 remaining fruit right now. No, I'm not saying that. You know, if you're an apple tree and I get you planted, then you start bearing fruit in 2 years. Now, let's look at the next frame. So, first year. Blue is first generation, red is second generation. So I'm not saying that you're bearing a lot of fruit. You're just bearing one fruit. And if you want to get this one to move on to a more stable relationship, then you got to be taking care of at least 4 or 5 people and, you know, build up this kind of relationship with them and simmer until it's simmered down, and then it becomes a kind of fellowship, and then it's simmered up. Okay, so let's say within a year, you get 1 second generation, red. Then the next year, then that one that you have begotten, he saw what you did, and so he did the same thing. And so you and him together, you get the third generation. So that's partnership. Then the third year. Now, the yellow one, he gets another one now. And that's the fourth generation. In the meantime, you got rid of him already. So he's a disciple, so you can go ahead and get another one. So you get another red. So that's the third year. Fourth year. Then the fourth generation get the fifth generation, which is the blue dot. In the meantime, some of the red dots get more dots, green dot, yellow dots. So that's fourth year. Then the next year, same thing. And, you know, my wife said, oh, this is The Fibonacci series. I said, what is Fibonacci series? I never heard of that. Well, whatever it is, whatever series, it's a fruit-bearing series, I can tell you that. So first generation, second generation, third generation, fourth generation, fifth generation. Now, what has happened? Next frame. From one person it turned to 13 person, it becomes an increase of 12%. I mean, 12 times. So one person become 12 person. Now I would ask you, do you think that that is unrealistic? Say yes or no. Yes, unrealistic. No, realistic. Yes, I think it's very realistic. But what does that mean? That means 100 person in Singapore suddenly in 5 years will become 1,200 people in Singapore. Just if these 100 people would just be faithful to do what I'm doing. And I know that numbers can play magics, but I'm not talking about number. I'm talking about something very, very practical and something that I see with my own eyes. So you know what happened to this guy after 5 years? He becomes a small group leader. And he has the small group meeting in his home. And in another year, he'll be a district leader. It's just like that. So here in New York, the brothers told me, they said, Abraham Chang, that's a senior co-worker from Taiwan, he used to come to New York and say, oh, you should have 50 meeting halls in the church in New York. And he said, wow, 50 meeting halls, that's dreaming. Well, you just walk down the street of New York and you see this patch of people, that patch of people, that patch of people. You never see any cosmopolitan combination of people like you see in New York. And that is a great opportunity to practice the church life like what we're talking about. And it would be not difficult at all if we have 100 people that says, I volunteer. And I promise to be, from now on for the next 5 years, I want to be vital. And I want to be in a vital relationship with the Son, and then with the Father, and then with the Spirit, and then with each other. And then guess what? In 5 years, you will be a spontaneously an apostle, a prophet, an evangelist, a teacher, and a shepherd. You don't need somebody to ordain you to be such. You don't need somebody to assign you to be such. You just become such by building up this relationship. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
When that happened, what Watchman Nee predicted will come to pass. And the church in New York at least will have 50 of such vital small groups. And if you have 50 people like that, you got 2,500 people. Would you believe in it?
Amen.
Do you want to dream my dream? You want to dream my dream?
Amen.
Say amen to that.
Amen.
Okay, so that's what I want to share with you. And I promised you at the beginning, I said, you're not going to hear the vital group like you heard before. So here it is. It's something that I think is very doable for the young working saints, whether you're Indian, Mexican, or Chinese, or Japanese, or Korean, and whatever community you're in, and whatever condition you're in, and whether you're in college or out of college, it doesn't matter. As long as you're a human being, you can do that. Can you? So if you do that, then I congratulate you, and in 5 years, we won't be sitting here. We'll be sitting in the 2,500 people Colosseum, and we'll be happily celebrating with the Lord. In that, the vine has increased in New York City. Should we get into this partnership?
Amen.
Okay, so I end my fellowship here, and I said at the beginning that I opened the time for you. So some of you who didn't have the chance to consecrate yourself, and some of you may say, oh, I didn't know what to consecrate. Now you know. It's very concrete. I consecrate my next 5 years to the Lord. To be vitally related to the Lord, number one. To be vitally related to others, to bring them into a vital relationship. And then to duplicate myself in them. How about that?
Amen.
I'm very happy to see all of you young people sitting here. Some people say, oh, they're a dead weight. I said, no, they're not a dead weight. They're living, vital members of the body of Christ. Let's look at it that way. Okay, so please bring the mic over. And then we'll give you the chance. And do whatever you want to do. Seems to be a little bit slow this morning at the beginning. But come up and don't wait. And by the fifth or sixth person, then people start coming up. So start coming up right now.
I enjoyed. With the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, and all the believers. And I also enjoyed incorporating the triune God as revealed in John 14, 15, and 16. Amen. Jesus is Lord.
Amen. Amen. I consecrate myself for the next 5 years. Amen. Lord, to be vital with you. Amen. Lord, to have an intimate relationship with you and the Father. Amen. Lord, through the Spirit. Amen. Lord, to be vital in a vital group. Lord, to duplicate myself and others.
Amen.
Lord, for your building.
Amen.
Amen.
Jesus, I would like to consecrate myself to you in the following 5 years, just in the practice of the vital group. And after 5 years later, I have the will to gather 12 fruits and the remaining fruits. Oh, Lord Jesus, I need you. Amen.
I consecrate the next 5 years to you as I finish my college degree and as I settle into the church in Piscataway and work toward my job and family. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, okay. Just say your first name when you come up.
Amen. Praise the Lord. My name is John from Church in Newington. Amen. Lord, I just consecrate my next 5 years to you.
Amen.
Lord, my finances. Lord, my time.
Amen.
And Lord, my relationships.
Amen.
Lord, what about 12 remaining fruit in the next 5 years?
Amen. Oh, Lord Jesus, Brother Cheng Xu from Church in Piscataway, Lord Jesus, thank you for revealing us such a wonderful picture of the vital group.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I would like to devote myself into such a divine relationship regarding with the Father and you and all the people around me. Oh, Lord, people, work this into my living. Work this into my being. Oh, so I can be vitalized. I can be the vitalized factor to other people. Lord, praise you.
Amen.
up there.
In church life, we have Neil from Brooklyn. In church life, we have a lot of, in church life, within brother and sister, we have a lot of, you know, a friendship. And we'd like to break through the fellowship, I mean, break through the friendship and get to the fellowship or partnership
good
level. Then, and what's some practical fellowship, I mean, what's your suggestion how to break through the friendship and get into the fellowship and partnership?
The easiest is to pray together. You suggest that you pray together. And it's, you know, like once a week, or if you can have more ambition, once every day, and you pray together for 5 minutes. And now you can pray together over the text message. I'm not kidding. You just pray, and then the other side, when he's busy, then he doesn't respond. By the time he responds, he prays. Then that is a relationship. So I said, all vital relationships are meetings. It's meeting on the internet. But not all meetings are vital relationships. And then if you say, well, you know, we really need some word, then go to the recovered version. And you can say, let's read a verse a day, or you can say, let's read a chapter a week. And then you do it together. And before you know it, you stop talking about the movies and you start talking about the verses you read. And that's a fellowship. What, you don't think you can do it? Go ahead.
Li Cheng from Brooklyn. I have a following question to that. So like when we try to break through the friendship to fellowship, sometimes it backfires. As in the person were very good friends with you and they're willing, in the beginning, willing to pray with you, even sometimes for just 5 minutes in the morning. And then they'll say, I just don't want to do it anymore.
And sure. That's why I said you have five, say, people, and then in the end you only get one. Yeah. But don't worry. Don't worry. You know, I read, I was on a plane and I watched CNN, and they said this girl in New York, in Paris, 1 month before she blew herself up, she was an infidel. She doesn't believe in God. She doesn't believe in the Quran. And then somehow, somebody got into a relationship with her, and then suddenly she became a martyr, a real martyr. So the power of relationship. Go ahead.
Oh, Lord. I'm Shoshi from Piscataway Church, and now I have a new work in Pennsylvania. So I will move to Hamilton. So I want to sacrifice my 1 year church life. Amen. And I want to sacrifice my relationship with the new saints in Hamilton to Amen. God. And also I want to sacrifice my boss, my relationship with the colleagues to God. And also at last I want to consecrate my marriage to Lord.
Amen. Good.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Victor Borga was 39 years for 50 years. So Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm 39. Hallelujah. But what I want to say is I was very struck by this point you made about the talent and Amen. The need to respond immediately
yes.
When it comes to function.
Yes.
Actually, it really struck me because there are many examples where if we don't function, we'll actually lose that function forever, like especially with an infant, a child. Developmentally, if they don't exercise, they'll lose it
yes.
and never get it. So I was really struck by that. And then this point about the willingness, I don't think I'd ever considered this before, that the number of talents we have depends upon our willingness to accept that from the Lord. And so that was really, really refreshing as well. But, you know, it certainly is God's will for us all to receive from him as much as, you know, he would give us that burden and then to cooperate with him in this partnership. So praise the Lord.
Yes, amen.
And I was just so exposed in the way that I manage my time, the way I manage my finances, my relationships, and even the information, the kind of things that I allow to come in. And related to the time, I just feel like, Lord, redeem the time in these next few years. And that message was so touching. And then this morning, I just appreciated that we can have a new beginning.
Amen.
We can have a reconsecrate ourselves to the Lord.
Amen.
And so I just pray, Lord, I'd like to give my whole family to you.
Yes.
Give my time to you. Give my finances to you.
Amen.
Give, even my church life to you. You would have the first place in my being.
Yes.
And then this afternoon, I just am touched that we would also have the burden to have remaining fruit. And so, Lord, pray for remaining fruit in these next few years.
Amen.
Gain this in each one of us.
Amen. Amen. Very good.
One church in Franklin, recently I worked in Rhode Island. I was touched by one keyword brother Andrew Yu is saying, incorporation. Incorporation is a triangle together, then include all of us. Become one entity, organism. This incorporation makes us vital. Praise the Lord. We're all busy, a lot of work every day, so many things, so much burden. But recently, during the working environment, I just grabbed a lot of balloon, a lot of opportunity. Sometimes someone needs a job, someone have a baby, someone have this, that, especially someone needs a job. And in the work, a lot of people have a group, like there's a lunch group, this group. Then by organically sharing some words, praying with them, we began start a friendship. But today, this afternoon, brother help us how to break through from friendship to fellowship, then from friendship to partnership. The one point is very good is by praying together. Like I contact with Indian people. On one hand, they pray with you. Well, on the other hand, they have their God in their closet too. So by praying together, but organically work together with them, then the churches in Rhode Island, the people there, they have a burden too. They want to partner with me. They want to visit them. And so we just, brother say, you preach fine, make it one at the end of the year. So this we don't need to be supported. Keep grab a balloon. Then continue, the Lord will send some with us. Praise the Lord for his economy.
Amen. I'm Dean from Manhattan, and I just really enjoyed that we have such a practical way. Oh, Lord Jesus, I consecrate myself to you.
Amen.
Lord, I give you my college years.
Amen.
Oh, for the next 4 or 5 years,
Amen.
That I could just be used for your propagation on the campus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, make me such a vital one.
Amen.
Oh, use me. Lord, here I am. Oh, just give me the way. Lord, give me the boldness. I give myself for your gospel. Oh, just use me so thoroughly. I consecrate myself to you.
Those who have testimonies on how you care, you preach gospel, you build the relationships, you can come out to give some testimony too. Okay, not only responding to the word or consecrating yourself, but you also give some live testimonies what you have done in the past 6 months, a year or so. Just come out.
So I think what Brother Andrew shared here is very, I think if I had heard a word like this 10 years ago, I would have said he's making things up, playing with numbers. But I think in the last few years and what the Lord has been doing, I'm Nathan from Baltimore, by the way. I think especially what's on the board, like on the left side, like if we focus on what's on the left side, we look at that, we realize surely that's possible, right? If we're in a relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Spirit, if we're brought into that incorporated fellowship, you know, the relationship between the Father and the Son is a relationship of love, right? And, you know, when we're brought into that relationship, we're brought into that love. And that love, which is an attribute in God, becomes a virtue in us. And then we just start loving other people. And when we love other people, these four dominoes can happen. They can really start happening. And, you know, there's the love. I we can't discount that. The point is not, Brother Andrew, correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think the point is to get numbers. The point is, if you start with a condition of love and there's a spiritual nature and there's a partnership and a discipleship, the numbers will come. It's a law, you know. That, forgive me for the example, but, you know, when a husband and a wife love each other, babies happen. It's a law under normal conditions, you know. There, and it's not like, you know, I looked at my wife and said, well, how many kids do we want, you know? It's many times kids happen, right? So I think in our relationship with the Lord and in the church life, we take care of the Lord. We take care of our relationship with the saints and with our friends and our coworkers and our classmates. We love them, but we have some goal. So we love them, and what we really want to do is have some fellowship with them. Because we don't want to just talk. I don't want to talk about movies with my classmate, with my work, you know, with my colleagues. I want to have a spiritual relationship with them. I certainly don't want to talk about movies with the brothers in my small group. But if that relationship matures, it just goes in this direction. And I can say, you know, I think in our small group in Baltimore, we can attest that these numbers actually, the numbers bear out. That colorful slide that he showed, It's just a principle of life and love. Amen. You just take care of these things. You take care of the Lord. And you start small. You really love each other. You just start praying together. You just want other people to experience what you're experiencing. It's not like it's a fruit-bearing effort. It's just, you're just having such a good time. You start telling your friends about it. You know, I told a friend of mine at work, and he's like, well, when can I come up to Baltimore and meet your wife? You know, it just happens. So now I think in our experience, there's some things happening in our experience. It's not perfect, but, you know, I'm here to say that it's not an imagination. It's real. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Recently, they said China got rid of the one child policy. But they said, you can't do anything about the population growth. And you think if you're a couple, and you say, oh, the population need to increase, and there need to be more girls than boys. You think it will produce a child, and you forget about it. As long as you just love one another, you will produce the child. The total production is not in studying the statistics, and I agree with Nathan. And I know that in the past 15, 20 years, since Brother Lee talked about the God-ordained way, we talk so much about statistics, and he said you have to take care of statistics. Statistics doesn't make people prolific. It doesn't make people productive. But when you love, when you get into a relationship and you develop the relationship, it will. And it will be very powerful. Go ahead.
Amen. I'm Kevin from Manhattan. And I was just really touched this morning and last night to refresh my consecration. Oh, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Oh, take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Oh, Lord Jesus, I just give you my next 4.5 years. Oh, Lord, my college years, my decision to which college I go to. Oh, Lord Jesus, I give this decision to you. Lord, just be the one to make the decision for me. Oh, Lord Jesus, I consecrate my time. Pray that it would be useful. Lord, make me useful.
Amen. Amen. I'm Chloe from Baltimore, and I'm really thankful for this time of the award. I'm in first year of 4 years program right now, and I finally, like this Tuesday, asked one of my classmates to read the Bible together and pray together. Yeah. I'm really excited to see this picture. I'm in the stage of friendship to fellowship. And amen, praise the Lord. I consecrated myself to spend more time with the Lord, to build more relationship with the Lord, and spend more time with my classmates to build more relationship with them. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Hi, Isaac and Tina Chang from the Church in New York City, meeting in Manhattan. We just wanted to testify our experience of being married over the last 10 years. Even though we feel like our service has been short and we're not capable in ourselves yet, because of the Lord's mercy and His blessing, we've been in a group meeting that actually has now not only grown but split several two or three times. We've had a chance to fellowship and be companions and shepherd single saints that. Many single saints who have now become couples and are serving like us in the same way, number of which actually even have moved away and are elsewhere. Yet, you know, we just praise the Lord that He's blessed us in this way. You know, I was considering this matter of the 5 years, and I realized in the 10 years of our marriage, I feel like the first 5 years we were running very quickly. Then the second 5 years, we had kids. And even though we're still doing quite a lot, I feel like we've been more distracted and we repent for not running as fast as we had before. And we just wanted to take the opportunity to consecrate the next 5 years. Amen. Lord, I want to give you our family, our children. Lord, our home, our service, even our group meetings. Our time, our finances, we want to give this all to you.
Amen.
Lord, for your building,
Amen.
For the church,
Amen.
For the saints.
Amen. Right. I do also want to say amen to all the stages of the relationships. It is so true and it's so enjoyable to go through all these stages of the friendship, the fellowship, partnership, and discipleship. And I do have to testify that a lot of this for me was maintained through prayer. And if it weren't for this prayer with the sisters, all of this would never have been possible for me. And recently, though, with the children, this prayer time that I've had with the sisters have been lacking. And I noticed such a difference when I don't pray as much versus before when I was able to pray so much more. And so I just give the Lord a fresh consecration. I feel like we are so limited in what we can do, but the Lord can do it in us.
Amen.
And all we do is just pray and allow Him to move.
Amen.
And we just give Him our cooperation.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hi, this is Jonathan Ward and Carolyn Ward from the church in Piscataway. I really appreciated that kind of have a refresh of this speaking. When we're in the full-time training, Brother Andrew gave this fellowship to us. And when I was considering, I think a lot of times, currently in this last year, a lot of times I just skip to the third step, partnership with a lot of the college students. You know, I'm really goal-oriented person. I'm like, I want some success. You know, I want some fruits, you know, things like that. But, you know, I really realized, you know, you really need each step. If you don't have a solid step of being friends with, you know, the college students or the ones you're taking care of, then you don't really get anywhere. You can't really pray with them because they don't really want to pray with you. You can't really get them to go preach the gospel because they don't have that spiritual urge to save man yet. So I was just really appreciative to be able to kind of have this refresh of this speaking. But also, you can also fall in the other way, and I feel like this is easy for me to just kind of stay in that friendship condition. of like you just like talking to them about, you know, sports or, you know, Stephon Curry's doing great right now. You know, and you can just get caught in that realm of just staying in basketball or staying and talking about cars or this type of stuff. But you need to realize that you're doing all this to get to that next step, to get to that next level, that you would be able to pray with them, to fellowship with them, and then, you know, be partners together with them. So I felt it was really good. And I feel like we are making some progress at Rutgers University with, you know, core students, you know, four students in particular. I think we're getting into that realm of fellowship and partnership because we did build a good base of a friendship. So I think that this really works, and I really hope that we can just continue to pray to continue to remember these things in our prayers.
I just wanted to share a little bit about how all of this centers on love, and we have to love people, and we have to love the ones we care for. And I remember that we received the sharing when I was in the full-time training about how, you know, one day you're going to come back from work and you're going to be super tired and you're going to just want to kick back on your sofa and do nothing, but to remember that your time is actually not your own. And so I feel like that's really been my experience and our experience the last couple of years is sometimes you just get back from work, you're running late, you've been up since like 5 a.m., and you go home and there's like, three college students, one girl's crying, like somebody's taking up your guest room, somebody's sleeping on your couch, and they're like, where's dinner? And you're like, what? But, you know, we do these things because we love them, right? And like, you know, do all their college matters, like, do I really, so-called, like, do they really matter as much to me as they do to them? Not really, but like, we're willing to listen to them, right? Like, a lot of times people, they just want to pour out what's on their heart. And they just need somebody to listen to them. And so I think that's kind of what we learned is that like when these students, they just want to come over and talk to you, we just listen. And actually, even as you listen to them, a love stirs in your being to take care of them. And I feel like that's really been our experience is that caring for all these ones is just because we love them. And although it's not always enjoyable, sometimes it's very taxing, it's always very satisfying. Because actually the life within us is a growing life. And this life is meant to be propagated, and it's meant to spread. So it happens very spontaneously. And so I feel like we've just had a really good experience our last couple of years on campus with this way. Amen.
James from New York, and I'd like to consecrate myself. Lord, I give you the next 5 years to manage my time and manage my relationships. Oh, that I would no longer have aimless friendships, Lord. Oh, that they'd be grounded in love to bring them eventually to discipleship.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. My name is Jared. I'm here from New York City. And I wanted to open up kind of my experience at work and trying to take care of new ones, and I wanted to ask a question about that. So for some reason, a lot of seeking ones have come through my job, and that's the Lord's doing. I don't really have anything to do with that, but there have been a lot of people through the years. I've been there for about 3 years. And I've had a lot of people come through the meetings, get saved, get baptized, but the majority of them, actually none of them are here today. None of them are remaining. And so one of my questions is, what is a remaining fruit? There's one brother in particular that I've been meeting with for 2 years, once a week. It's been 2 years. We go through the life studies together. He loves the ministry. At some point in time, he started to meet in a denomination. He wasn't saved before that. So we still meet, we enjoy the word together, we have a very good friendship, definitely have fellowship. I would say there's definitely some partnership too because we pray for other coworkers. But my question is he a remaining fruit because he's not meeting on the ground? I don't know. So that's my first question.
Well, a few years back, I was sharing with something along that line. And to the leading brothers in the church in Taipei. And then I said, well, how many of you think that you can bear one remaining fruit? And then Brother Lin Hong said, okay, what is a remaining fruit? Then he defined it. He said, a remaining fruit is when somebody is just like you. So a remaining fruit is when you duplicate yourself. And so based on what you share, you still doesn't have a remaining fruit yet. That's on the way, don't worry.
And I guess my other question is, in that regard, my feeling has just been to just try and nourish and feed, and hopefully the Lord opens his eyes, and not to confront him or approach it directly. But I wonder if maybe it's just because that's my disposition. I don't like to make people uncomfortable or directly ask questions. Have you ever had an experience of people who you wanted to meet on the ground and they eventually did, or maybe they didn't? Can you have any part in that? Is there anything I can do to help with that, or is that just completely, you just pray for that and leave it in the Lord's hands?
Well, relationships are not always comfortable. And when you move from one relationship to another, like for example, you've been shepherding somebody for all the time, and you've been milking him, and you've been pampering him, and suddenly you need to perfect him, and you say, let's get on with the basic lessons of the truth, and let's get on with it together. Sometimes it's very hard for some of the saints to do that because they don't want to get into a advancement of their relationship. But suppose you beget a baby, and then of course you don't demand anything on them in the first 3 years. But then the first time you say, hey, you don't go to party in the right way, and you got to go to party in the right way. Well, is that putting a demand on him? Yes, it is. But he has to grow. And that's that takes exercise. And so any advance to bring people on is an exercise. Years ago, there were some people that I was taking care of, and then I suggest that we should do some serious things in the time we get together. And it's a challenge. And they like to come and rap and just talk whatever they want to talk about. Then if you want to say, I want to get into a more serious and directional relationship, well, you got to exercise faith. And then I did it, and they said, sure, let's do it, you see.
I'm Vincent from Manhattan. I like to reconsecrate myself. Lord Jesus,
amen.
Lord, I consecrate my life to you.
Amen.
Lord, I give you my future.
Amen.
Lord, I give you my college years.
Amen.
Lord, make me a vital member.
Amen.
Lord, help me to spread the Christ within me into others.
Amen.
Lord, even though I'm not willing, make me willing.
Amen.
Lord, I give you my ability to serve you.
Amen.
My name is Marvin Jean-Jacques. I meet here at the church in New York City. And this is kind of a follow-up to Jared's question. So Jared and I were laboring together with some of the saints in our small group and really working to try and transition all these ones, the fruit that were from his workplace, into the church life. And we found that it was the proportions, there was just too many sisters to take care of for two single brothers. So that was the practical situation. I know it sounds funny, but that's what was going on, right? So we might have had this one brother, and then there's like five or six sisters that are showing up to the meetings also. So when you're talking about duplication or just that one-on-one shepherding that's necessary, how do you instill your burden into others, right? Because we know we couldn't really take care of them. And they wanted these kind of relationships, but that's not something Jared or I could have provided, right? So just going forward, and as you're mentioning, for these next 5 years, like what is it that you can do to foster this among your small group or among the people you're laboring with?
You got enough people to work on in your own sex, to work on people of the other sex, and in general work on people of your own sex and same gender. And, you know, unless you want to marry him. Then that's a different relationship.
Yeah, that's not what we were talking about. Okay. Okay.
My name is Sam, and for the last 13 years, I've been meeting regularly in the church in New York City. And probably 13 years ago, I was a seat warmer. And it's okay to be a seat warmer. And then 12 years ago, the church bought a meeting hall in Midtown Manhattan. And this meeting hall was really a free will offering of the saints. And many saints poured out, and even I heard sisters sold their wedding rings to buy this hall.
Amen.
And I remember being there the first Lord's Day, the first week, and there were a lot of the older saints there with us and having the Lord's table. And then it may have been the second week, and then the older ones stopped coming, and they just left us there. And I felt like, what do we do? And, you know, I was with a lot of other brothers, you know, we were the young adults at that time. We felt like, wow, the church just bought us a meeting hall and just, you know, just telling us to have the church life. And I just want to testify that that was the most wonderful thing in my life. Amen. I just want to show my appreciation for the church.
Amen.
You know, this is the Lord's possession. But yet, when we receive it, it becomes our talent.
Amen.
This is the most wonderful thing for us to receive of God's possession, right? The matter of the truth, the gospel, the saints, and the church. These shouldn't have just remained in the Lord's hands, but we should receive. And this is something of our heart. If we don't have a heart, then it just remains the Lord's possessions.
Amen.
And then the Lord can't use it. So I just want to testify, just as the brother said, you know, the next generation, always there's more opportunities than ones before. And I feel now there's so much more opportunity. But we have to see. We have to see, you know, this phrase, Princess Lucia, just rings through my... We have to remember the goal. We can't forget God's goal. It's God's will. And if we see God's will, then we see that God has a need. So I just want to consecrate myself again for the next 5 years. You know, I appreciate all the specific consecrations, but I also appreciated this blank check consecration. So Lord, I just want to give myself to you. Lord, whatever you need. Lord, I want to give myself for your need. Lord, I love you. Lord, I give myself to you. I give my family to you. I give my house to you. I give my church life to you. I love you, Lord.
Amen.
Hi, Andy, now from the church in New York City. Praise the Lord. Before I came to New York City, for the past, I would say, 5 or 6 years, I was praying with another brother almost weekly, actually bi-weekly, every two times a week. So I was actually a product of discipleship. This brother took me up and he started praying with me, and we just prayed and prayed and prayed. So for 5 years, we bared the burdens of the church where I was at, and we just prayed for everything. When I moved to New York, I immediately felt a sense that I did not have someone to pray with. So I asked the Lord, Lord, give me someone, please, to pray with. He gave me a name in the beginning, but I ignored it mostly because I was still transitioning. And I felt, you know, maybe I'll figure it out somehow. But I started developing this friend, a couple friends in the meetings here, started talking to the brothers, then sharing with them some stuff. And then eventually the Lord gave me an urge. Brothers, you need to find a brother to pray with. I have so much to do here. You need to pray with someone. So, you know, one day I just texted a brother, and for the past couple of weeks, we've been praying together, and it's been wonderful. But surprisingly, what came out of that was not just one person, just us praying. All of a sudden, the Lord put a lot of these young people at the school I attend on my heart.
Amen.
Oh, it's so sweet. I'll tell you. What's really interesting is the whole matter of initiative mixed with vital groups is a real thing. You know, taking the first step to say, Lord, who do I pray with? And then he gives me someone to pray with. And I said, amen, I'll pray with this one. And then the next says, Lord, give me someone to pray for. And then he said, look at these ones. And I said, amen, I'll pray for these ones. And then I started joining myself to these brothers. You know, right now, and it's never happened before, Brother Roger was telling me earlier, never before at Columbia has there ever been a group of students like this. so many young people at the same time with a heart for the campus. I'll say at Columbia right now, we have a prayer group. That's amazing. And it's just because we took some of us just took the initiative to go to the Lord and pray. To ask the Lord, Lord, give us some to pray for and give us one another to pray with. Hopeful the Lord will really bring up a discipleship here. You know, I actually appreciate Dean's consecration earlier. He's one of the ones who prays with me. And I pray that there is something emulated in him for the next 4 to 5 years. That he produces much the same way, many more who will come. You know, it's really cool because he's a freshman. And he brings all these other freshmen to the meetings. These kids don't even know that they're about to get infused with the triune God. Amen. They are going to receive Christ. Amen. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And Jesus said to them, Amen. All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Saints, I can testify that this whole relationship from friendship to fellowship and partnership and eventually discipleship works, but you may not actually see your fruit. So I've been in the church life now for only about 2 years, and the first 1.5 were spent in California, and then the later half year I was spent here in Baltimore. When I joined the church life, I was a friend and maybe a fellowshipper with some saints in California. But they didn't get to see their fruit now, because I would say that once I moved to Baltimore, I really had an opportunity to become partners with some saints here in Baltimore. Amen. And so something I just wanted to share is that those who you are shepherding, you may not see your fruits. They may be transferred to other people in the future. But what's most important is that you do your part. You water the seed and someone else may cultivate the fruit. So, just do your part, saints. Amen. Amen. Josh.
Aaron from the church in New York City, and I meet in Brooklyn. There's two slides I appreciate a lot from the today's fellowship. The first one is comparison between the human cell growth versus the bacteria. So I see there's a need for the growth in life for the body. Otherwise, we will die. We all want to. This year, Brother Torres, is the year for the enlargement and advancement. So someone needed to cause the growth in the body. Another slide enjoys you. I will look at the other brothers. Say maybe some brothers should rise up to serve, to function. The one person becomes 13. I will just look at other people. Say maybe they should do something there. But I appreciate about Brother Andrew's inspiration, so you'll come here more often. And cause me to think about myself and the person need to be vital. As you look at other people, as them to be vital. So I wanted to consecrate myself, also feel about another brother's testimony. I'm not willing, but Lord, make my willing. And I wanted to consecrate myself for the next 5 years regarding about the time management, finance, relationship, and information. Lord, I know you call me, and you will do it.
My name is Neil, and her name is Lee. We meet in church in Brooklyn. We meet in church in New York City in Brooklyn.
Amen. We haven't renewed our consecration since our wedding 2 years ago together. Yeah. So we want to use this opportunity to renew our consecration. Yeah. So, Lord, we just want to consecrate our family to you once again. Oh, Lord, do go further in us. Oh, Lord, we even make our home open even wider, even open up everything in our home. Oh, Lord, we consecrate our next 5 years to you. Oh, for this friendship, fellowship, partnership, discipleship, to establish vital relationships in our district, between our family and other saints. Oh, Lord, I just want to even specifically consecrate our finance to you. And don't that we won't be bothered by the anxiety of life, but we just store our treasure in heaven. Amen. That our heart will be there.
Amen. 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 Well, we have recently her parents moved in from China to, you know, where we are, and it has been a challenge due to the language barrier, cultural barrier. But I think it's right now is an opportunity to actually give that to the Lord too.
Amen.
Amen.
Because they need to be saved, and the whole house needs to be saved.
Amen.
Lord, we give ourselves to you.
Amen.
For Lee's parents.
Amen.
Lord, that they also enter into what we are enjoying.
Amen.
Enter into the salvation that you have given us.
Amen.
And really enter into the body life that you desire.
Amen.
Lord, gain our family as a whole.
Amen.
Lord, give you the next year, 2016, to you.
Amen.
That you gain what you're after in this family.
Amen.
I know our time is short, but I see standing out some married couple, married saints, and of course some younger sister here. Get your parents out. And we give the remaining times, not only those standing. See if we can have 10 families, either couples or families, come out and consecrate. Okay, no more testimonies, just consecrate. So get your parents out. Yeah. Okay, Tommy. Now there's a age liberation. Okay. Any couples younger than 50 years old, come out. The remaining time, give it to the couples or families.
The church in New York City. I'd like to just give a short testimony and our consecration. For many years, I saw the vital groups as a doctrine, a teaching, and a bunch of how-tos. But in the last 5 years in our church life in LA, I really began to experience, maybe not with the words, but to realize that the vital group is a relationship, not only with the triune God, but also with the saints around us. And we entered into a prayer life and a laboring together that became the real joy and satisfaction of our church life. In the last 5 years, I realized the church life was not just a bunch of burdens and meetings and responsibilities and services, but it really became a joy because of our relationship with the saints and with the fruit that we were bearing. So my wife and I, we would like to consecrate ourselves, our family, our home, and our relationships and our time to be a part of this vital group living, God-man living, to bear fruit for his building.
Amen. I just echo Israel. Our small group experience went through this. It was not just friendships, but developed into fellowship, partnership, discipleship. Oftentimes, we weren't able to labor directly and feed those new ones or students because we're not on campus, but we opened our home. We fed them. They played with our children, and we provided that aspect of the church life. And many times they didn't come to the Lord's Day. They only came to our Friday night meeting, and eventually, by their senior year of college, they were remaining fruit. And we just consecrate ourselves again. We moved here in July, and my parents were married here. They consecrated their marriage life here at this meeting hall. They are now with the Lord. Israel and I got married here 12 years ago. We consecrated our marriage life then. Now we're back. We would just like to consecrate our lives again to the Lord, our family, and our home.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I consecrate my life to you, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I give you my next 5 years, my eighth grade in high school, Lord.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, I give you this family.
Amen.
O Lord, save my brother and my grandfather, Lord.
Amen.
Lord, cause them to love you.
Amen.
Amen.
My parents.
Amen. Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
Lord, oh, we confess that our love is so short.
Amen.
Oh, we are lack of love. Lord Jesus,
Amen.
Thank you. Speak to us.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
We reconsecrate ourselves to you,
Amen.
Our family to you.
Amen.
Lord, gain us all to the uttermost.
Amen.
Lord, we give the next 5 years to you.
Amen.
Oh,
Amen.
Lord, we want to gain the remaining fruit.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes, Lord, we repent. Oh, Lord Jesus, for the lack of willingness to serve you. Oh Lord, for being so passive.
Amen.
Oh Lord Jesus,
Amen.
We consecrate ourselves to you.
Amen.
Oh, even Lord, at this moment.
Amen.
Oh Lord, for the next 5 years.
Amen.
Lord, we give you the blank check.
Amen.
Lord, use us for the church. Oh, for the vital living.
Amen.
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 Amen. So all those who are standing out, that's all the saints for now. But tonight we'll have more time. So for those saints, you're hungry. We have dinner already ready downstairs. From the back side, you can begin to slowly move down and have dinner. But we're gonna finish all these consecrations. Amen.
The Lord touched me to come up when Sam came up about 20 people ago. But I'm a little slow in responding to the Lord. So here I am. He already consecrated our family. So I'm part of this family, and I have to. I want to, not just have to, want to follow my husband's consecration. And I feel like actually not just my husband, but my parents consecrated themselves to the Lord. And I know that because of them, I'm also here. My mother went to be with the Lord this summer. And I feel like I have to, I just thank the Lord that I had a mother and a father who were consecrated to the Lord. And they, you know, when... And now we have four kids, and I feel like our, the brother was sharing about not just what you say to them, but your living. And this is how we have to be with people. If you're living talks of the Lord, it's easy to bring people to the Lord. If we're living two lives, it's very difficult. You try to preach the gospel to someone, they look at you like you have three heads, because where is this coming from? But if we love the Lord, our living should be one. There should be one living, whether we're working, whether we're at home with kids, whether at school, whether we're looking for jobs, whether you're retired. It doesn't matter. If you love the Lord, there's people around you. There's people around you that can be gained. And they want to be gained because they're attracted to the same Lord that you're attracted to. Praise the Lord. He loves us. We love him.
Amen.
He's our friend first and then our Savior.
Amen.
So may those relationships around us be, we have to care for those relationships so that the Lord can gain them just like he gained us.
Amen.
Amen. Lord, so we just got married this June, but I just feel like it's not too early to renew our consecration to the Lord, to give him our marriage again, that we would be fruitful, that we would cultivate these relationships. The Lord gave me a new job, and I think it's fair to say we have been praying, but not consistently for our coworkers, right? And just, I don't want to have any more regrets about the people that the Lord has placed around me, right? And the young people that we serve. So, oh Lord, Lord, we give ourselves to you.
Amen.
Lord, we give you our time.
Amen.
We give you our energy.
Amen.
Oh Lord, we give you. Oh Lord, we don't want to waste time.
Amen.
Lord, we give you. We just want you to use us,
Amen.
Lord, to bear the remaining fruit.
Amen.
And this past summer school, I haven't forgotten. I know the Lord hasn't forgotten. Just to say again, Lord, for this. To gain one remaining fruit this year,
Amen.
And to recover one this year.
Amen.
My name is Titus.
Oh, Pamela.
And we're from Philadelphia. In the same vein, I'd just like to consecrate to have one friendship transition to a relationship of fellowship. I have a job situation where I'm constantly meeting new people about every month and making new friends. And I'd just like in this next year to give myself to have one of those friendships become a relationship of fellowship.
Amen. Yeah, my name is Sen Kun. I'm really touched that the winning is really the key. So because we are winning, so we can do we are winning. Then we can do all those three build up this four relationship. So the first day I was brought into church life, I found I just say amen to everything that brothers ask me to do, ask me to get morning wherever. I just say amen. Then preaching gospel, just follow brother to preaching gospel. And then I found when the brother shepherding me left, I actually went in to do the same thing. So because of willingness, we are able to get the morning revival every day and pray, preaching gospel, serving, shepherding, and everything. So the willingness is really the key. So we are able to do whatever we should do. I also would like to testify that all those is really practical. I don't have time to too much details, but in the past 10 years, I like to say all those friendship, fellowship, partnership, and discipleship build up. I mean, every year, in my service, because we serve Columbia campus, and we found every year we build up friendship with the new students, and the many will be saved. And then we become partner, and then some of them even do the same thing when even the left school. So I like to say this pattern is really practical, and it's repeated. Actually repeated every year, and it's going to be repeated in the future. So I like to say I would like to concentrate me and myself and my wife and my whole family again for the rest of my life and to for building up the church. Amen. And waiting to do whatever Lord wants to do through me. Amen.
Love is the key, the most important thing. And then for the past few years, and then because we've been doing a lot of things and trying to perfect younger young saints and kind of like young people. But sometimes, and today I just feel like I'm kind of like renewed my vision here. It's actually the condition is still love. Mm-hmm. So it's not like we can see kind of like what's the result and whether they come out and be good and then kind of as our standard, but then it's actually out of love. And if we love them and we care about them, and then we just kind of like share and then live together, have a life, and then in the church life. So Lord, forgive me, and kind of like sometimes not doing things not out of your love. Amen. Oh Lord, give me your the willing heart. Amen. To actually serve you, and also your love to serve people.
Amen. I was also very touched by the point like our brother was sharing, this particular left column. When you start from love, you know. Go through that, you know, spontaneously there is a production and a gaining, an increase. So our brother's not coming here talking about number, he's coming to here talk about the law, the principle here. So I also was touched particularly by many of testimony, you know, particularly the word free will offering. So we just want to consecrate ourselves for the following 5 years to the Lord, give the free will offering to the Lord. May the Lord do whatever He wants to do in our family. Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Señor Jesús. Soy de Cristian Severino de Natli. Señor Jesús, quiero consagrarme hoy a mí, estar abierto al Señor, mi hogar, mi casa, mis hijos. Amén. Quiero, como dijo un hermano anteriormente, Señor, me ponga dispuesto.
I want the Lord to make me one who is always available.
Porque sin ti no puedo hacer nada.
Because with you I can do nothing.
Pero tú legaste tu nombre.
Amen.
Y tuviste la confianza de ponerte nombre en la iglesia.
And you put your name in the
Señor,
church.
Señor Jesús, por este nombre creo que podré hacerlo.
By this name, Lord, I can do everything.
Amén.
Amen.
Señor Jesús, te doy gracias. Quiero estar abierto siempre para ti.
Lord, I
always solo
want
en ti
to be
está
open
la fuerza, Señor.
You're Amen. My strength.
Sí, Señor. Amen. Queremos ser abiertos, Señor, para ti.
We want to be open for you, Lord.
Me consagré cuando tenía como estaba en los 20 años.
I consecrated myself
y esto me ha mantenido esta consagración en la vida de la iglesia.
This maintained me in the church life.
Y he experimentado al Señor mucho. Y nuevamente me consagro porque ahora estoy multiplicada con dos niños y mi esposo.
Now I'm multiplied with
y quiero decirle al Señor que
children.
Me consagro
now I want to tell the
porque
Lord,
quiero
I consecrate
tener más tiempo contigo.
To spend more time with
así
you.
Como Moisés
like Moses.
Permaneció en el monte.
He maintained on the mountain.
Yo quiero permanecer contigo
I want to remain with you.
Para poder resplandecer.
Amen.
En oración, Señor.
So I can stay and felt in prayer.
Entrego a Jaciel y a mí.
Amen.
Señor, que tú me guíes a criarlo. Y que me ayude a soportar toda carga de la iglesia.
That you would strengthen me to pick
gracias,
up all
Señor.
The burdens in the church life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. You love us. Amen. Oh, we just want to renew our consecration. Oh, consecrate our whole being to you. Oh, we consecrate our whole family to you. Oh, Lord, specifically next 5 years. Oh, we consecrate the next 5 years to you. Oh, to practice this God-ordaining way. Oh, practice this vital living. Oh, Lord Jesus, we are willing. Oh, Lord, and we will do it.
The Lord Jesus, we are willing.
Amen.
We like to redeem our time.
Amen.
I think we are so blessed. Yeah, we have a vision, and now we have a practical way.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus, just use ours.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I'm Newman, and this is my wife, Ruth. So in 2003, I consecrated myself before coming to U.S., in Seoul. And 2005, I consecrated my PhD studies right here. And now I'm so happy to consecrate not only myself, but my wife and my son Caleb. All our family will serve the living God. Amen. We turn from the idol to serve the living God.
Amen.
And we serve Christ and church.
Amen.
But we consecrate also our time
Amen.
And all our finance
Amen.
And our relationship
right.
and our information and all our future into your hands.
Amen.
Before you're coming back, your bride had to be ready.
Amen.
Lord, we give our whole family into your hands.
Amen.
Wherever you go, we follow.
Amen.
Whatever you want to do, we do.
Amen.
Lord, give our whole family to you again.
I just want to follow my husband's consecration. Lord, I want to consecrate myself to you
Amen.
And my whole family.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, I want to give my time to you
Amen.
And my whole relationship to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
I just repent from all my passivity
Amen.
And all my excuses in the past.
Amen.
Lord, I want to go on with you.
Amen.
So also I consecrate my friends
Amen.
Because once my son started his school, I became my son's friend's mother's friend. But also six months ago, one of them just started read a life study together.
Amen.
But I don't want to stay there. I want to go move on
right.
into the relationship of partnership.
Amen.
So I consecrate their family.
Amen.
Lord, remember Nathan's family.
Amen.
We want to gain them as your remaining fruit,
Amen.
As the members of body.
Amen.
Or so I give one of my friends.
Amen.
Or so he's my son's friend's mother.
Amen.
Lord, I just want to be a friend there to them. I want to develop the relationship
Amen.
As a friendship into fellowship,
Amen.
Into partnership,
Amen.
Into discipleship.
Amen.
Lord, I give my 5 years to you.
Amen.
So I want to gain more of you
Amen.
Than you gain more of me,
Amen.
Our family.
Amen.
Oh, 主耶稣, 主啊, 我爱你, 今天愿意在这里把自己, 更新的奉献给你, 把我们全家奉献给你, 把我的, 哦, 儿子和女儿也奉献给你, 把我们的财产奉献给你, 哦，求你使用更多的使用我们这个家，那个成为圣徒们的祝福，成为你的管道，我们的家完全向你敞开，向圣徒们敞开。主啊，求你悦纳我的奉献。
Buenas noches, hermanos. Hoy es un día muy lindo, ¿no? Un día de consagración. Yo quiero consagrar a mi esposa,
I want to consecrate my
mis cuatro
wife,
hijos,
my children,
¿no? Mis hijos, Jimena, mi hija mayor, mi hija Emily, mi hijo Jeremy y mi niña de seis meses, Nicole.
Amen. My three
quiero
children.
Consagrar nuestro matrimonio al
I want
Señor.
To consecrate our marriage.
Queremos seguir en la vida de la iglesia. Queremos que nada nos impida el gozo y el disfrute de estar en esta reunión y en las que puedan venir. Hoy es un día que en realidad esta palabra consagración es muy linda, muy hermosa, muy fuerte. Consagro todo mi ser al Señor. Gracias.
Amén.
Amén. Buenas noches, hermanos.
Hello, saints.
Por la misericordia del Señor estamos hoy aquí.
By the Lord's mercy,
quiero consagrar
we're here today.
También mi matrimonio.
And I want to consecrate our marriage,
Señor.
My children.
Señor, mi servicio en la localidad de Nutley, Señor. Oh, Señor, que sea yo útil para ti,
that
Señor.
I could be
que sea mi tiempo.
My time.
Oh, Señor, a los hermanos de Nutley, Señor.
All the brothers
oh,
in Nutley.
Señor, te consagro todo, Señor, a ti.
Consecrate everything
oh, Señor, porque
to
sin ti no because soy nada,
without
Señor.
Without you, I'm nothing.
Amén.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm Brother Yuda. This is Sister Bonnie. We just got married in August, and we want to consecrate ourselves the first time in public.
Amen.
Amen. We want to consecrate ourselves to you, Lord.
Amen.
Consecrate everything, whatever you want, we
Amen.
Just give to you.
Amen.
Amen. We give our following years to you.
Amen.
We give our home, our family,
Amen.
Our money, our time,
Amen.
Our information, our relationship,
Amen.
Our everything to you,
Amen.
Lord.
Oh, Lord, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Lord, we consecrate our family to you.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, in the following 5 years.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, help us have more vital relationships.
Amen.
I'll move from the partnership to discipleship.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, amen.
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 Lord, seal every consecration.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord.
Amen.
For each of these consecrations.
Amen.
We especially pray for all these families.
Amen.
Oh, Lord, gain them.
Amen.
As they give the next 5 years to you.
Amen.
Lord, honor this consecration.
Amen.
Answer these prayers.
Amen.
That you could have a way to move on.
Amen.
In New York City.
Amen.
To be propagated.
Amen.
Even all over this metropolitan area.
Amen.
Lord, grow.
Amen.
Lord, spread.
Amen.
We give ourselves to you.
Amen.
We all give ourselves to you. For these next 5 years,
Amen.
Have a way in all of us,
Amen.
That you might have a way on this earth.
Amen.
We praise you.
Amen.
We give you the rest of this day.
Amen.
We tell you we're still open.
Amen.
Keep speaking.
Amen.
Speak more tonight, Lord.
Amen.
We love you, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Well, saints, we have an hour break. We will go to have our dinner downstairs.